Numbers, yeah, start with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Fourth book of the Bible, Numbers chapter 24. It's another one of my mini series of odd Christmas scriptures, but when you look at them, they're not really odd. Let me read from Numbers 24. And I'll start at verse 14, a short passage. And now indeed I'm going to my people. Come, I will advise you what this people will do to your people in the latter days. So he took up his oracle and said, the utterance of Balaam the son of Beor, and the utterance of the man whose eyes are opened, the utterance of him who hears the words of God and has the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and batter the brow of Moab, and destroy all the sons of tumult. Father, as we come again to your word, we have been reminded, Lord, exactly how powerful it is, how your Spirit uses the Word of God, forever settled in heaven, to reach into the depths of the human heart when all else fails. We thank you for that and for giving us the opportunity to come together again to focus at your word, to let you by your Spirit speak to our lives from this. For Lord, sometimes you take the most unlikely places and your Spirit speaks into us if we have but ears to hear. And that is our prayer, that we want those. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, there are those that we know, not just in the Philippines, and we continue to pray for them, for your mercies and help to them. But Lord, now even in our own community, pray for the Stollhammer family and just your help in this time of their loss, that you'd give them wisdom and help to just put everything back together that's necessary. And Lord, for other things that are going on in those whom we know, we thank you that you are loving, you're kind, you're concerned, you're caring. And Lord, as much as you are allowed to be, you are actively involved. You are. And so we thank you for that. So Lord, again, pray for our government, for those over us in authority. Give wisdom to them and grace for them to decide against any special interests that may be on their personal agendas. Lord, for the good of our country, for the good of your word, the gospel, and for the those who are true followers of Jesus. Lord, that we may be the people that reflect you and show you to others and share you with others as you give us opportunity to bring glory to your name. And so, Lord, for these few moments we have together, I do pray your blessing. Give us hearts that will listen and that our minds will grasp. And Lord, by your Spirit, that we can understand just how magnificent your word, your plans, your thoughts, and your desires are. And the things that you do that will be, have been, and will be accomplished. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Context of this verse. The nation of Israel has come out of Egypt. Hasn't been much longer than this. They are now right on the edge of the Jordan River, but they haven't crossed over into the Promised Land. And any country, as they've been wandering around, that has sought to attack them or destroy them, God has allowed them to just defeat those nations. And the reputation of the victories that they have had precedes them. And so now they come to an area of Moab, Moabites, and the king there has heard everything that's happened, and so he decided to go to the store, Prophets Are Us, and hire a questionable, at best, prophet, whose name is Balaam, and see if somehow, rather than just getting into a warfare fight, he can somehow get a little bit of spiritual edge on this coming conflict. And so if this prophet Balaam would curse the nation and sort of twist God's arm to curse them and to stop helping them the way he has been. So it leads into an interesting encounter with the only talking donkey in the whole Bible. So 2 weeks ago, I talked about talking to rocks. So last week, we were in the Garden of Eden with a talking what? Snake. Now this week, there's a talking donkey, but I don't want you to take you into that. It's really interesting because don't have time. Anyways, the donkey basically saves Balaam's life from the angel of the Lord, who said, if it were for your donkey, I would have killed you by now. And in the matter of this, God opens the donkey's mouth. Think old time Mr. Ed, only with a donkey. And the donkey basically says to him, hey, what's up? What have I ever done to you? Haven't I served you faithfully? Well, yes. And it's like, he just has this little bit of conversation and keeps on. And the angel says, I would have killed you, but I would have spared the donkey. Because, referring to horse sense, that donkey has more sense than you do. However, read it, it's very interesting. So he finally comes, and the king of the Moabites, sworn enemies of Israel, tries to get this guy to curse them. Well, the way you do that is you do sacrifices and offerings. So three times he sets up seven altars, and on each altar he sacrifices animals. Seven. Does that three times. Only the plan backfires, because the first time, this sort of questionable prophet, rather than cursing, he blesses them. And the second time, the same thing happens. So the king says, let's try a different angle, a different perspective on this. Maybe you can curse him from that. And it happens again. And so now you come to the fourth time, and by this time, this prophet, quote-unquote, Balaam says, hey, I don't think we need any more sacrifices. You're not going to twist God's arm or impress him with trying to be religious right now. You notice how that works. People get into a bind and then suddenly they become religious, right? Well, forget that. So he gives a fourth message. And this, what we have now, is part of the fourth message. And that brings us to verse 17. Where he says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel. So when you think of Christmas, and you think of a star, what do you think of? Christmas and star. Was there a star at Christmas time? A star? Of course there was. Matthew chapter 2. Let's go there quickly. Matthew 2. First book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Of course, Herod's troubled. And then they find out it's Bethlehem. And in verse 8, Herod says, so you go there and search, and when you've come back, bring word that I may come and worship him also. Now verse 9, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they'd seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over the where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. Wise men. Magi. Magi. M-A-G-I. We derive the word magic and magician from that, magi, wise men, seeing a star. So, first of all, quickly, who were these wise men? Matthew's original audience would have known the wise men from the east, probably because generally people knew about the magi. They were a priestly and political class of the Parthians who resided east of Israel. The Magi date back to 7th century B.C. 700 B.C. They were a tribe in the Midian nation of eastern Mesopotamia. Think Babylon. Think modern-day Iraq. Babylon. They were skilled in astronomy and astrology. And it is the book of Daniel that introduces us to the Magi, the wise men, with their knowledge of science, agriculture, mathematics, history, and the occult. They were some of the most influential non-government officials in the kingdom of Babylon. Wise men. That's what Daniel's book says about it. So now, but these wise men in Matthew 2, verse 2, we've seen, where's the birth of the king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east. Okay, so this is AD 0. How did these individuals tie together the king of the Jews' birth with a star? Because their history goes back 700 years. How did they tie that together? A star coming out of Jacob, a scepter from Israel. You have the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. Now, but how did they know about what was written in the book of Numbers? Because the book of Numbers was written approximately 1300 B.C. 1300 B.C. So I've given you 1300 and then 700 B.C. So we're going back in history here. So how did they know about the book of Numbers? Well, since Scripture is its best commentary, in 722 B.C., the nation of Israel was split, and the northern kingdom of Israel was taken because of their incredible God-defying lifestyles and theology and all that into captivity into Assyria. Now, approximately 120 some years later, that was 722 BC, in 597 BC, so 125 years later, 597 BC, the southern kingdom of Judah followed along the same and was taken because of their ungodliness and rebellion against God into captivity to Babylon. Into Babylon. And then you have Daniel in Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar. So 597, they were taken in. And that was 2 Kings chapter 24. Yes, the Medes were around 700 years. Daniel, the Babylon, is 600 years before. So 100 years. I'm sorry, the Medes, the Magi, the wise men. So they've been around 100 years or so before Daniel showed up on the scene. Daniel calls, and he has this category of wise men, astrologers, magicians, and soothsayers, Daniel 2:27. Again, these were high-ranking, non-government, not administrators, not officials. sort of like cabinet board of influence. As a matter of fact, after such a wonderful song, they weren't kings who came. They were the Magi. Now I know, okay, we just heard a wonderful song, three kings. But they were wise men, not kings. As a matter of fact, one writer says they were so powerful, they were the king makers. You had to have, it's like the old time, in old history European countries, you had to have the blessing of the Pope if you wanted to be king. You couldn't just do it. But that was a long time ago. The Magi were the king makers. They were that powerful. And so, of course, when you get the king makers coming in, no wonder it's going to upset Herod. But that's a different part of the story. King makers. Now, but again, how did these wise men know about a star and a scepter? Because they're from the east, far away. So how did they know when, going back 1,300 years, there's, again, scripture helps us. In the kingdom of Judah's going into captivity, the Babylons, 2 Kings chapter 24, when they came into the temple. Now there's two categories of things that they ransacked the temple, the religious main spot of the Jewish nation. Two things they took out. One was articles of gold. The other, it says, the treasures of the temple. And it separates those two. So I'll give you the question. What is a non-gold treasure of the temple? Non-gold. It's the scriptures. It's the writings that they had in the temple. They took out all the treasures of the temple, and then it refers to the articles of gold. It is a separate category. So I think when they came in, the Babylonians came in, ransacked the temple, they knew the value of ancient writings. And they took it all away. And so these ancient writings go off to Babylon with them. And so hundreds of years later, you have these individuals that are studying now these ancient writings that are about 1,300 years old and coming across this, a star and a scepter. And it's out of those Jewish people way to our west. That's my take. So, what is the star? The star. Some have said it's Jupiter, the planet, because Jupiter is known as the planet of kings. Or king of the planets. King of the planets. Well, maybe it was a lineup between Jupiter and Saturn. Or maybe it was a meteor or a comet that came through. And one writer said, it could be the star of destiny in the heart of mankind. Oh, that just, don't you feel warm thinking that? As one writer said, it's a bunch of dribble. Dribble. I have another take. The star. What lit up the sky on the night of Jesus' birth? Luke chapter 2. Now it says, to the shepherds out in the fields, it says an angel appeared, but it doesn't say the angel lit up the sky. It says an angel appeared and spoke to them, didn't even sing. But the angel said, but it says, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Doesn't say the glory of the angel. The angel and the glory of the Lord. So you look at that phrase, the glory of the Lord, and you go, okay, where is that in the Bible? Oh, you go all the way back to, again, the people of Israel wandering through the wilderness, and there was a pillar of fire by night. Fire that just gave light. Pillar of fire by night, cloud by day. On the top of Mount Sinai, where Moses went up, Ten Commandments, and it says, the Lord descended upon the mount with fire. fire. You go back to when Moses built a tent of meeting, not the tabernacle, but a tent where he could just walk into, and it says he met God and talked with him as friend to friend. And when he came out, there was so much glory shining off the face of Moses that he had to put a veil on because people just couldn't look at him. His face was literally shining after talking with God until it wore off. And then he'd go back in and talk with God some more. It happened every time. Light. And then when the tabernacle, when God said, here, build me a portable place where I can meet with you. When the tabernacle was completed, again, the time of Moses, it says, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle and no one could go in. Glory filled it. Skip a few hundred years later, Solomon building the majestic temple. And when the temple was completed in Jerusalem, what does it say of that? And the glory of the Lord filled the temple and no one could enter until the glory sort of left. But at its dedication, the glory of the Lord filled it. And then you have in the New Testament, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And then you have Jesus who went up on the mount with Peter, James, and John. And it says Jesus was transfigured, and it says that his face shone like the sun. Light. And then afterwards you have Paul. Paul, the Christian hater. Paul on track to just get rid of all this stuff as fast, these people as quick as he could. And on the way to Damascus, there's a bright light that knocked him off his horse. Sometimes it's good to be knocked off your high horse, isn't it? That's a good saying. He was knocked off his high horse. But Paul testified about this later, and he said, a light from heaven brighter than the sun. And you know, hey, come on, Israel, sunny days, sunny days, bright sunshine. It's coming back. It will. We'll have summer. Bright sunshine. And he said it was brighter than the sun. And it was the Lord speaking with him. There's a theme through here. You're getting it. So when Jesus comes again, the second time in Matthew 24, it says he will be coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And what does it mean by glory? That's where you go to 2 Thessalonians, and then the evenings we're working our way into 1 Thessalonians, but not tonight. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 says, the Lord Jesus revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, it says, in flaming fire. And you know, flaming fire means blazing lightning. Brilliant lightning. So you get through all this. As a matter of fact, the title of Jesus, this is another clue, is Bright and Morning Star. And as a matter of fact, in heaven, in the New Jerusalem, there will be no need of the sun or moon because the glory of God illuminates it, brightens, is what it means, illuminates. It's where we get the English photons. And we're not talking Star Trek's photon torpedoes. We're talking photons coming from the sun. Some of you got that. Others are wondering what the pastor watches for old movies. Photons coming from the sun. It's part of the illumination of the sun because it says the lamb is its lamp. Brightness. So one of two things, the star. One of two things. Now it could be a special star because when you look in Matthew's gospel, when they departed from the king, the star that they had seen, here's verbs of motion, went before them until it came and stood over. Stopped. Now, your ordinary comets and stars don't do that. However, if God wants to create a light that's special, that's going to lead them on approximately a 7-month journey from Babylon over to Israel, 7 months. So it's no longer Jesus the baby, he's a young child. I feel like I'm just ruining people's Christmas ideas at this point. So, when he comes, and they get there, this star that went before them. Now, so if God wants to make a star that is seen, that leads and stops, okay? But if not that, then to me, it's a small, small fraction of the visible glory of God. Visible. Now, so when it's morning, we have mornings, and what happens in the morning? It starts to lighten and brighten up before what? Before you even see the sun. It is the glory of the sun, and Paul referred to that in 1 Corinthians 15, about verse 41. There's a glory to the sun, there's a glory to the moon, and each star, this differs from glory to glory. So there's a glory. You see the glory of the sun before you see the sun itself. So a small part of the glory of God that could lead them and stop and just stay there. And so they know the place where the young child is, the house, because it's there. But the fascinating part is that in order to get there, the wise men were following a prophecy that was some 1,300 years old. And they believed it. And there's a star. We're from the east, we're looking, so the star is in the west. And we're following that. Because what's over there? Judah, Israel, because they have been a part of our history through Daniel some 600 years ago. There's no star mentioned in Daniel. There's a stone, but no star. But you have numbers with a star. 1,300 years back. So, scepter. Scepter is a rod. You know, scepter, the rod of authority, the rod of power. Sometimes it's translated as a shepherd's staff, scepter. But in Psalm 2, it is against the rebellious kings of the earth, with the in the handles Messiah, thou shalt break them in pieces with a rod of iron. There it is, a rod of power. And remember, Esther and King Ahasuerus. Esther, to approach the king and to approach without being requested is death. But she comes in and he holds out his scepter and she touches it. He says, what would you like? And he goes on with the story. Scepter of the king. And so a scepter will come out of Judah. A star from Jacob, a scepter from Judah. Did I just mess those up? A star from Jacob, a scepter from Israel. Now, I got a star, I got a scepter. How do I get a savior out of this? How do I get a savior? Because it starts with, I see him. It doesn't say, I see it. I see it. It says, I see him, but not now. Not now. I behold him, but not near. That is, sometime later, somewhere far off, it's him, the star and the scepter. And then what does it say about him? He will bruise, he will batter the brow of Moab. Last week, what was God's curse on the serpent? That the seed of the woman would what? Crush his head. Same kind of language, batter the brow of the sworn enemies of God, and he will destroy. Now you might have the sons of tumult, you might have something else. It's the sons of pride. He will destroy the sons of pride. So with the authority of Jesus, that's what he will eventually do. The one who is him, Him, I see Him, the glorious one, the King of Kings, that they recognized as, where is He who is born King of the Jews? The fascination of it is a prophecy that looks forward 1,300 years to Jesus' birth and beyond when He does His final conquering. From 1300 BC. Looking forward, do you see Him looking backwards? Do you see Him looking backwards? They look forward 1300 years. They went back to ancient scripture, 1300 years old, and believed it and followed it. We have ancient texts, some about 2,000 years old, some a little more, that are copies of copies, all authenticated, all true. True story. So it's from 2,000 years. We have that. Do we look backwards and see Jesus, the bright and morning star? Jesus, the King of Kings? Jesus, the glorious one? Jesus, the ultimate authority? The ultimate authority. Do we see Him? The Magi were wise. Believing a 1,300-year document, do we believe documents that are 2,000 years old and older to lead us to Him? I see Him. The glorious one. The ultimate. The one who came, born king, but He was born within the Jewish race, King of the Jews. Who lived, who died, took our sins upon Himself on the cross, bore all the penalty, bore the wrath of God for everything that all people have done for all time that's wrong, everything. We looked at our youth group. Why did Jesus have to be born divine? Because only God can bear the penalty of all people of all time. I can't die for you, I can't die for me. For what I have transgressed against God and done wrong. But God could for all people all time. He took the penalty, He took the wrath of God, died. 3 days later, rose again. For which we are justified through His resurrection. Because it's all true. Do you see Him? The glorious one. The King of Kings. Does your life belong to Him? Jesus, the glorious one. The King of Kings. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. It's just, we are just in awe, Lord, of how You work through centuries and centuries and conditions that are beyond our imagination. To bring this all to pass at the exact time and even to keep record of it accurately so that here we are with the accurate record of it all, which is the Bible, the Scripture. And here we are. And Lord, for those who have given their hearts to You, given their lives to Jesus Christ, just, Lord, let us reflect a little bit more on just how amazing You are. The God who could do all this so that we could have life, tracing this all through all the history so that we could know for ourselves Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the King who's over all kings. And Lord, I pray for any here that haven't settled that yet. Help them, Lord, to think, to come to a concrete decision on this, to not just waffle, but Lord, by Your Spirit, because You're speaking to them, I know that, to come to something that's concrete for their lives, for their eternity. If you do, let me know, please. If I can help in some way, let me know, please. If you know someone who truly belongs to Jesus and need to know anything more, let them know. They'll be glad to help. Thank You, Father. for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So take your hymnals. It's one of the hymns that we sang. We'll just do the last verse as we close. Number 191, verse number 3, the Prince of Peace, the Son of Righteousness, Light and Life,